I would like to talk to you just for a few moments from the subject, pause, reflect, and praise God. Pause, reflect, and praise God. This psalm or song, written by the sons of Korah, is set in the context of catastrophic chaos, troublesome times, and unparalleled uncertainty. The writer's world was crumbling all around him. The psalm was written with the nation of Israel in mind, but it certainly applies to us today. Before we get into the text of the psalm, I want us to look at this word, Selah. After verse 3, verse 7, and verse 11, the word Selah is a Hebrew word that occurs 71 times in the book of Psalms and 3 times in Habakkuk. The 71 appearances in Psalms happen within 39 of the Psalms, as the word Selah is often repeated within the same psalm. Based on the context, it is generally accepted that Selah is a musical term or of some sort, and is there to provide musical direction. 31 of the 39 psalms that include the word Selah are titled to the choir master. The prophetic book of Habakkuk, like the Psalms, is a book of poetry. And the third chapter is a prayer in the form of a psalm. It is in this musical chapter that we find the word Selah. This certainly reinforces the idea that Selah is a kind of musical notation or expression that is known and understood by musicians and even those who were just singing along. The fact that Selah is often found at the end of a verse or chapter also supports the idea that it suggests a pause, since it shows up in a place where we would normally put a period or a new paragraph. Selah is a transliteration. A transliteration is when a Hebrew word is simply sounded out to English so we can read and pronounce it. As an example, hallelujah. Hallelujah is a transliteration of a Hebrew word that literally means praise God. Hallel is praise and Yah is God. Instead of being translated as praise God, this word has been left for us to sound out as if it would be in the original Hebrew and continues to be a powerful expression of praise.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I remember when I toured in Germany, and I was amazed that hallelujah is hallelujah everywhere. So I got to sing a song that was hallelujah. And they knew exactly what I was saying. Amen. So like hallelujah, the fact that Selah is transliterated and not translated does not diminish its importance. So instead, it signifies that when we read Selah, we are pronouncing the word generally the same way it would have been pronounced thousands of years ago by those who originally wrote and read it. In addition, Selah is thought to be rendered from two Hebrew words translated as to praise and to lift up. Perhaps the singers paused so that they would think about what they had just sung in praise to God. Psalms 46 brings us comfort and causes us to pause, reflect, and then give God praise. In the midst of our problems, in the midst of life, let us pause, reflect, and praise God for God's promise. God is here for you. Let's look at the first three verses. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. Selah. The name for God is Elohim, which reminds us that God is creator, God is king, God is judge, God is savior. In the midst of whatever we're feeling today, God promises to be our refuge, our strength, and our help. God is not pointing to a refuge. God is our refuge. God is our refuge even when what seemed steady is now unstable. The word refuge is a place of trust and literally means to flee, as in running to an impenetrable shelter. Let us seek God's face. Let us cry out in prayer. Like we heard in Psalms 142, verse 5, I cry to you, O Lord, I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. God promises to hide us in his shelter, and he can help us by his strength. God is a very present help in trouble. You see, the word very means he helps abundantly and greatly right now in our present situation. Aren't you glad we serve a God who comes to our assistance when we are afflicted? He is always available and always accessible. As we are told in Psalms 9 and 9, it says, the Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. So we can rely on God's might when we feel weak and defenseless. God is a very present help right now and everything we need in the future. God has proved himself to be such a help in the past that we can trust God in the present. You see, in verse 2, the writer is imagining the worst calamity that could possibly hit as he described earthquakes, volcanoes erupting, and mountains slipping into the sea. It's a picture of the unmaking of the world. In Genesis 1, God divides the land from the sea, and here we see the land thrown back into the sea. Even though the earth gives way or the landscape suddenly changes, we don't have to be afraid. Mountains provide refuge in times of war and were considered to be the most secure part of nature. They were the most fixed and firm things on earth. Verse 3 describes the roaring waters of the sea, which is a picture of our lives when we're out of control. Roaring means to be in a great commotion, to rage or be at war. At one point, every continent was in commotion about what's going to happen with this coronavirus. What will it do next? When the mountains tremble as its swelling refers to the pride or haughtiness of the mountains, our sense of pride and invulnerability as a people have been replaced with quaking and concerns about the future. But Psalms 91, 5 and 6 says, "You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday." You must remember, God is in control of everything. We can run to God for refuge. When our security is suddenly gone, we are to seek refuge in God Himself. Our sense of helplessness and fear should drive us to God. For 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 says, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land."
Hallelujah.
The first Selah is found at the end of verse 3. Let's pause, reflect, and praise God for His promises right now. Even when our whole world is turned upside down, you can run to Him for refuge. Somebody needs to shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In the midst of our problems, in the midst of life, let's pause, reflect, and praise God for God's presence. God is with you. Let's look at verse 4 through 7. "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Selah. God promises us shelter when we seek him. Fortunately, we don't have to run far to find him because God's presence is right here with us. Verse 4 paints a picture that is easy for us to miss. First of all, the city of God is Jerusalem. While it was a very beautiful city, it didn't have a river running through it like other major cities and countries of that day had. Babylon was built on the Euphrates. Egypt had the Nile. Rome had Tiber. The Quad Cities had the Mississippi. Jerusalem did not have a physical river, but it had something even better: the very presence of God. The title Most High is Elyon, which refers to God as the highest of all. God is sovereign and supreme, and he is present with us. God's grace flows like a river to bring gladness and joy to his people. While the oceans rage and foams, God's presence is depicted as a calm and gentle flowing stream. God's favor is often denoted by a river, as in Psalms 36 and 8, for it says, they feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delight. This image in scripture is used to represent happiness, abundance, and peace, even when everything else is falling apart. God's presence is with his people, and this is the central truth of the scripture. Verse 5 says that God is in the midst of her. And then verse 7 declares that Lord of hosts is with us. This is from the root word Emmanuel, which means God with us. And it was used in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 to refer to Jesus. This means when we put our faith in Jesus, we have God with us at all times. Amen. Notice the last part of verse 5. God will help her at morning dawn, no matter how bad things get. God's presence means that God is with us and God will help us. When we wake up to start a new day, it's because of the Lord's great love we are not consumed, for his compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God is faithful to us. God will never leave us. God will never forsake us. Neither height nor depth nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is present with his people. Even when the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. According to verse 6, rage is the same word used in verse 3 to describe the roar of the waters. When the nations are agitated like the waves of the sea, God is still with his people. No matter how bad things get, we can always count on the presence of the Lord. Amen. The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord Almighty has all the host of heaven ready to do his work. Psalms 24 and 10 ask the question, who is he, this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. God is the king and commander over every army, both spiritually and earthly, and he mobilizes them to accomplish his purpose. It was the promise of his presence which gave Moses peace. For in Exodus 33 and 14, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. This verse ends, the God of Jacob is our refuge. As in verse 1, God is depicted not only as powerful, but also as refuge, a fortress that we can run to for safety. Let's pause, reflect, and praise God at this second Selah. By thanking God for his presence with us, somebody shout, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the midst of our problems, in the midst of life, let's pause, reflect, and praise God for God's power. God is in control. We can depend on God during times like these because of his promise. his presence, and finally, because of his power. We see the heart of God in verse 8 through 11. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. According to verse 8, we're called to come behold the works of the Lord. We are to run or pursue in order to behold. The word behold has a number of nuances. It means to perceive through sight, to peer, to spy out, to gaze intently upon, to observe fully, and expresses strong feelings of surprise, hope, expectation, and certainty. To behold has the idea of vividness and emotional involvement and is used in the imperative meaning it's a command. It is variously translated as lo, behold, look, note. I heard a phrase that says, we become what we behold. Tell me what you are beholding, and I'll tell you what you are becoming. This verse tells us we are to behold the works of the Lord. The word desolation in this text means ruin, astonishment, wasting, dismay, and horror. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolation he has brought on the earth. Verse 9 shows us that in God's position as the Almighty God, he makes war cease to an end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. You see, the Assyrian Empire was at that time the mightiest on the globe. It had already overrun many of the smaller kingdoms and had hoped to conquer the entire world. But God had other plans. A broken bow is of no value, and a spear that is shattered is no longer effective. Chariots set on fire cannot function. In God's position as sovereign king, God is in charge. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God has shattered sin and Satan and demolished death. He has broken our bondage so we don't have to be burned by the fires of hell. The majority of this psalm is written in the third person, as the psalmist speaks about God. However, in verse 10, the Lord speaks in the first person from his position as sovereign ruler. We are called to be still and know that I am God.
Amen.
To be still means to cast down or let fall, and was used of dropping weapons. We are to cease fighting a battle we can't win. It's the idea of not putting forth exertion. The picture is of opening our clenched fists and letting our hands fall to our side as we leave matters with God. We're not to just have a moment of silence or even just be quiet. We are to cease and desist, to surrender, to let go. Psalms 37 and 7 captures it well. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself. The purpose of being still is so that we can know God. To know means to acknowledge and comprehend, to discover intimately. It is not enough just to know about God. We are called to know Him relationally. But we can't know God experientially until we become still before God. We're to cease striving and fretting and working in our own self-efforts and fully submit ourselves to God. For Zechariah 2 and 13 says, "Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for He has roused Himself from His holy dwelling." Notice the last part of our text in verse 10. "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." As we quiet our souls and reflect upon His position of power as Lord over the whole world, we will recognize His supremacy and inevitably triumph over the nations. Brothers and sisters, no matter what happens, remember this: God will be exalted among the nations. God will be exalted in the earth. God is working out all things for His glory and for our ultimate good. Our last verse, verse 11, is a great summary statement for this entire psalm, as it repeats verse 7. "Because the Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge." We can trust Him. Jesus Christ is God and Lord of history. Nothing has happened outside of God's plan. Nothing ever leaves God bewildered or astonished. Nothing ever catches God by surprise. Though incredible upheaval, though the mountains fall into the sea, those who know Jesus Christ have nothing to fear. Whether the coronavirus, whether it's monkeypox, whether it leads us to more catastrophe and confusion, whether our nations rage against one another, God is our refuge. No matter what happens, we can pause, reflect, and praise God for His promise, His presence, and His power. So let's pause here at the final Selah and praise God for His power. In closing, we can be confident that God will be our refuge and our strength in troublesome times. Israel was always in trouble with neighboring nations. But while the other nations boasted of their horses and chariots, their mighty warriors, their inaccessible gates, their weapons, their equipment, Israel relied on God. They were safe just because God was their refuge and strength. And so are we. So whatever state we find ourselves in, whatever happens in our world today, we must remember that God is a very present help in trouble. When things are unfavorable and threatening around us, it is important that we focus our attention on God. Let's take this opportunity to intercede not just for our nation, but for the world at large. As I stated earlier, let's take charge of 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. It's letting us know that the healing of the land depends on you and me. We are accountable to God and to the world to bring healing upon the land. This is not a time to fear, but a time to show courage and faith. It's a time to model love and faith to our own household. Make sure you speak words of faith, because our children are going to learn and replicate what we do. Whatever the circumstances you may be facing right now, however depressing or hopeless things may seem, God promises to be your very present help. So pause, reflect, and praise God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, you are our helper. Thank you for your protection, provision, and your presence. You are our fortress and defender. No one can snatch us from your hand. There is no other God like you. In you we trust. Sanctify us through your word. Preserve us and all of your people from injury and deceit, from fear of the enemy, from the arrow that flies by day and the trouble that walks in the darkness. And grant us eternal life in Christ, your Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.